This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back into the Lions 24/7 podcast on a picturesque day in Happy Valley. It's a good weekend to have people on campus. That's what Penn State is going to do. Once again, the official visit list reaching double digits here, the third consecutive weekend with the Nittany Lions welcoming in a group of official visitors. We've got a lot of coverage up on the site at Lions247.com. I'm Tyler Donahue. I'm rejoining the discussion after Sean Fitz, my co-host, and Brian Doan, the tremendous national analyst with 24/7 Sports, did all the carrying of that weight last episode. Sean, nice work with Brian. No surprise, he blew it out of the park again. And right now, there's just so much to talk about when it comes to Nittany Lions recruiting.
Yeah, when Doan and I hop on a conversation, it's usually supposed to be short. It ended up being a half hour long. I talked to you and you're like, what else are we going to do? And that's pretty much how it went. So we just decided to scrap you for the first one. I hope you were not offended. We got you back in today. And it's a busy weekend. So it's good. We got plenty to talk about. I don't think we're going to be around that long, but plenty to talk about. 10 official visitors coming in this weekend, some unofficial guys, some camps. So pretty much, I'm not going to say a carbon copy of last weekend, but last week was very busy. This weekend, once again, going to be very busy. And as Andy Frank said in an episode with us about 2 weeks ago, it's about getting these guys on the right path and following through. They seem to do a really good job last weekend. We're going to see how they do this weekend.
And there have been visitors that have popped up over the course of the week. There will be more official visitors next week, wrapping up June. That'll be a lot of commitments and a few targets as well. But let's start here, Sean. Official visit weekend number 3. As mentioned, it's a big number, 10. We've got a bunch on Lions247.com. There's going to be a camp on Sunday. We'll see what comes of that. But the focus here is these official visits. Players already reporting that they're on campus here at lunchtime on Friday. Let's start with the guys who are traveling quite a ways. Christian Driver, an athlete from Texas, defensive back, safety, a wide receiver. Let's call him an athlete. He's a 4-star prospect. Dad, Donald Driver, a standout wide receiver with the Green Bay Packers. For one of those seasons with Green Bay, James Franklin was the receivers coach. And lo and behold, he produces a son who is now in a position to be a Power 5 prospect. And Penn State gets a chance to host him. And this is one that maybe quietly you've been pointing to a long time and saying, just keep an eye on Christian Driver. His official visit has arrived.
Yeah, this is one where we thought that, Christian may have been close to a decision a few times. I think Penn State's kind of been like, hey, you should probably see the campus for a kid that's driving distance or something like that might be a little bit different. But for a kid from Texas, he's got a tremendous relationship with James Franklin. Obviously, Franklin playing the long game while befriending Donald Driver all those years ago, knowing that he had eventually have a 4-star son. So some 4D chess right there for Franklin. But this is one where those relationships have been big. He visited, or he didn't visit. He was there with his father at the Cotton Bowl when he visited practice a couple of years ago. So, that's just a long-term thing that they've been, working on. I think, he's got a great offer list. I'm not sure which schools are pressing the hardest, but Penn State and Wisconsin seem to be the ones that have jumped out to him. I have a crystal ball pick in for Penn State, felt pretty good about that one for a long time. He's got an official to Wisconsin. Of course, as the son of a Green Bay Packer, Wisconsin is kind of home for him as well. So that you certainly can't write off the Badgers, but Penn State with an opportunity to sort of solidify things with their standing with Driver. They're recruiting him as a receiver, which is what he wants to hear. I think, and a lot of people think, he could be a top level safety. We'll see what happens during his college career, but that's why we kind of have the athlete tab on Christian Driver. But he's a guy that they've liked for a long time. They've felt good about their chances, and I think that they have a chance to solidify their standing this weekend.
The old classic Big Ten battle for a Texas prospect, maybe shaking out here with Driver. Elsewhere on the recruiting trail, making a longer trip, Sean, is Florida defensive lineman Zane Durant. He's out of the Orlando area, Central Florida. That new coaching staff led by Gus Malzahn, he has been frequently visiting them during recent weeks, getting familiar with that program. It's in his backyard. Miami's on the official visit itinerary. He's already gotten a trip up to Big Ten territory at Indiana, coming in 23 total tackles for loss the last couple of years, 7 sacks last season. At 6'1", 251 pound, assuming those measurements are accurate on his 24/7 sports profile, that would qualify him as a bit undersized for a player that I think projects as an interior defensive lineman.
Well, he was 6'2 a week ago, so we'll see where he ends up coming.
It's going the wrong direction.
It's June, man. It's happening all over the place. As I mentioned with Doan, it's one of those things. But no, I think that'll be important in terms of how does he measure up. This kid he's an explosive defensive lineman, but he is on the shorter side. Be curious to see where he goes. I mean, Indiana has done a really good job with Florida prospects. They got him on campus. Miami wants to get him on campus, but UCF, I think, is the big threat here. Gus Malzahn's there, new coach bump right there, just going to play into that whole keep everybody at home that every single coach that is hired anywhere goes into. So I think that that's going to be something to deal with. I'm curious to see. This is a kid that has really moved up Penn State's board as a defensive tackle. I'm curious to see where he is after the weekend, whether he gets in. Maybe he's not as big as advertised, and that might see his recruiting go in one direction. Maybe they get him on campus. Maybe they love him. I mean, they seem to like the player that is there, the athlete that is there. It's just a matter of, can he measure up in Big Ten ball? And I think that'll be sort of a measuring stick for him this weekend.
There are 10 prospects on campus for official visits this weekend. Only one of them is currently committed to a school, and that is Drew Shelton, committed to Penn State since last September. He was on campus here just a couple of weeks ago, Sean, but since then he has also gone to Gainesville, used an official visit earlier this week with the Florida Gators. We've mentioned his transfer now to IMG Academy. That shakes up the dynamics a bit for Pennsylvania's top-ranked offensive lineman, and it would figure to be a very important moment for him and for the coaching staff to get in for 48 hours here and come out the other side feeling some sense of increased clarity.
It's a good weekend for talented visitors. I think Drew Shelton's probably your most important visitor. I know that you usually don't say that for a committed guy, but for him to check out Florida, for Georgia, Florida State, Notre Dame, Rutgers is in there. So several schools still talking to him, and he's keeping those lines of communication open. So he's been on campus one time already this weekend, and you'd like to see, I don't think he'll shut it down after this weekend, but you like to maybe get him to feel really good about his choice going into the dead period. That way it sort of, marinates there for a while. And maybe you get back into July, August, and into his season, and things feel a little bit better there. You still like where Penn State stands. He's still committed. He's still, doing all the right things, saying all the right things. But this is kind of that example that we threw out several times on the podcast before, is this kid has not visited anywhere and he wants to check things out, and you certainly can't hold that against him. So I think very, very important visit for Drew Shelton this weekend. If you can lock him down, which, I'm kind of skeptical, if you can completely lock him down, that would just be incredibly huge for this class.
And if Drew Shelton's recruitment, by the way, I know our listeners want to see that 107% committed, 107% locked in tweet coming from Drew Shelton. We just saw that from a couple of Penn State quarterback commits earlier this week, Drew Allar, Bo Prabula, putting that out there after Caden Saunders, Jerry Cross, Ken Talley have done in the past. As Sean said, stay tuned with Shelton. You may not get to the finish line this weekend, but figures to be a big step toward that finish line. If that's not the most intriguing recruitment that's going to play out this weekend at Penn State, Sean, maybe the one that is Keon Wiley's out of Philadelphia, a guy that you've had the discussion, is he a defensive end? Is he a linebacker? What is Penn State's path to a linebacker in this recruiting cycle? And does it lead back to Philadelphia, where you've got two commitments in the city right now, Ken Talley, an edge rusher, and also Tyrese Mills, a safety who's up at Lackawanna College?
He's an edge guy. Isn't that what we say now? He can be a linebacker, can be a defensive end. I'm curious to see where the size checks out, but I really like Wiley as a player. I know a lot of people that have, that know what they're watching when they watch tape, a lot more than me, are really big fans of Keon Wiley. So I'm encouraged to see this trip happened. He's not going to work. It's not going to be a trip where they work him out or anything like that, but they'll get an idea of what that length looks like, what that frame looks like, and sort of try and project from there. He's got, Anto Saka is up. We talked about this on the first podcast this week with Brian Dome, very similar players, very similar, a ton of length. Both guys run really well. Are they linebackers? Are they defensive end? That's something where I don't know that you can project without seeing these kids, and they'll get a look at them this weekend, see what kind of size they bring to the table. You can kind of project athleticism based on the numbers that they have. Wiley's a very intriguing guy. Visited Pitt last weekend, has a visit scheduled for Kentucky next weekend, but he's close with Ken Talley. He's close with a lot of those Philly guys, and Penn State, the way that they've tried to get back into Philly, would love to get them on board sooner rather than later.
And I don't know if you've heard, but Deion Barnes has proven to be a vital presence in Philadelphia for Penn State on the recruiting trail.
I've heard that once or twice. Yes.
He may have said it a few times as well. By the way, with Wiley, I know there's that comparison maybe to with Saka and coming to campus and how do they fit in your defensive plans? It feels like, and you've seen Saka on the camp circuit and you've seen him really physically impress in a big way. Wiley really got it done from a production standpoint, looking at his junior film, 12 sacks. To me, he just screams like the kind of recruitment where if he ends up somewhere else, when it felt like Penn State, it was theirs to have, it just comes back to kill you, or it's a guy that you follow for the next 3-4 years, have a lot of success, a productive college career, and you just wonder why you couldn't find a spot in the roster during his recruitment.
I actually had the same conversation with someone this morning. Wiley, I think it's one of those guys that you always think about, like Michigan State, that gets the guys that just, and it's usually with Ohio guys. How did they miss on this kid? How did Ohio State miss on this kid? Well, it was under the radar. It kind of happens. And then all of a sudden he flourishes at a place like Michigan State. I don't think you want to let Keon Wiley get out and go to Pitt or Kentucky or something, or one of those other schools that's recruiting him. But we will see. Numbers are a tricky thing, especially for, I guess, for lack of a better term, tweeners. He's probably 6'2.5". He runs pretty well, but does he run well enough to cover all that ground as a Sam? Is he a box linebacker? There's just so many questions that you can come out of there asking about both those guys. And, for now, in my opinion, they're both good enough to recruit and take right now if you can do that. But I think the competition's pretty heavy, especially for Saka.
Shall we stick with edge guys who recently visited Pitt? Because I've got another on this list for you. Tyrese Fearbury, 4-star prospect in the composite out of Perry Traditional Academy in Pittsburgh. That's where the crystal ball is pointing a couple of weeks removed from his visit there. Supposed to get to Auburn next on the official visit itinerary. And at 6'5", 210 pounds, another that you can kind of let your imagination run with depending on what you want your defense to look like.
Yeah, I love this. Love his frame. Big kid. Plenty of room to grow. He's a City League kid, so he's raw. But, he's been to Pitt probably 5 or 6 times this month already. And it's just – that's the logical thing. You look at what Pitt's been able to do, especially with Western Pennsylvania defensive linemen, City League guys. Deion Hayes was there last year – or two cycles ago, I think it was. So you've got an opportunity to sort of continue that if you're Pitt. So I think the smart money would be on Pitt here. He did come up to that scrimmage in late April and left very impressed, especially with Beaver Stadium and, what things look like in there. So he's going to get that opportunity to see that once again this weekend. I have a tough time seeing him land at Penn State, but he did have some really good things to say coming out of that trip.
We have a couple linemen to get to, but I want to take a quick detour, go to receiver, because this was a late edition. Brian Doan reported this on Wednesday, and it was on Wednesday that Tyler Johnson got up to Penn State, got a chance to tour campus, worked out for the staff, and very quickly this was constructed, Sean. He is already back. I don't know if he even bothered leaving, but he's here for an official visit this weekend. A guy who averaged 30-plus yards per reception last season, blew up with FBS offers this spring. Good timing for him. Boston College, Maryland, Virginia are some of the other teams that have put offers on the table. Industry-wide evaluations aren't really there yet with Johnson. I think 24/7 Sports has him just inside the top 100 at receiver. But quite frankly, there are a lot of unknowns about this kid, and I'm sure the Penn State staff is looking to fill a lot of answers in the next 48 hours.
And I'm curious to, you made a good point. I'm curious to see what he did between trips. I haven't talked to Tyler about that, but he was up on Wednesday,
right,
coming back today. That's a 400-mile trip because he's from Virginia, but he's from down there, Virginia. He's closer to Greensboro, North Carolina than he is, most places in Virginia, right along the border there. So I'm curious to see which direction that went. But he came in for a workout this week, did really, really well, ran sub 4.5 for Penn State. Again, another guy that shrank a couple inches this month. That seems to have happened a few places, but it's a guy that really impressed Penn State. I think he got into the, we've talked so many times about these guys that are coming up for workouts or for camp workouts or things like that, that probably didn't have the green light. He seems like he has the green light coming out of that, that workout the other day, which is a good sign of how he looked in front of the coaching staff.
Another player out of the Virginia high school football scene, and one that has really been, I would say, a divisive prospect during the span of this 2022 cycle during recent months, Gunnar Givens. At one point, he was inside the top 20 overall in 24/7 Sports composite rankings. I think actually just 24/7 Sports rankings. He slid more than 100 spots there in 2021, Sean. He's still a 4-star. The composite rating is still over a 94, 6'5". 290 pounds, a guy who was apparently, talked about playing defense, maybe not just focusing on offense. Seven predictions, all seven going to Virginia Tech. This was what, 5-6 months ago, thought to be a Clemson commitment on the verge of that happening. I mean, it's completely recalibrated, and here he is, and Penn State taking a look. It's just amazing because I'm looking at the message boards. There's a lot of talk about a lot of guys. This isn't really one of them. And I think if you sent us back 6 months ago, there will be a lot more buzz about Gunnar Givens coming to campus.
The buzz is certainly not the same as it was a while ago. I mean, that a lot of that was projection. He went and worked out at a camp in Florida, and the reviews were just not very good. And I think that really kneecapped his recruitment, to be honest with you. Penn State still has been keeping in touch with him. Phil Troutwine has been recruiting him pretty heavily. I thought he would have committed to Virginia Tech by now. There was rumors that he was going to do that to start off June. And really, it makes sense if you look at what, he's a Virginia kid. He's not far from Blacksburg. And, that whole stay home kind of thing that we saw, kind of how we saw Landon Tangwall last year. It's a different situation, but that stay in the, be the biggest program in your area type thing. I think that that's probably what I thought he would get at by now, but he's wanted to check out Penn State for a long time. As I mentioned, Phil Troutwine's been in touch with him. He's talked about playing defensive line. That's not going to happen. He's going to be an offensive line. He's probably going to be an interior offensive lineman. But I think that's one of those things. We said this at the outset of the camp season, and actually back in the spring, don't get too attached to those early rankings. Some will really move a lot, and Givens has been an example of that.
One guy that has done well for himself this spring, and you've seen that firsthand, is Andre Roy. If Gunnar Givens is getting the hometown pitch from Virginia Tech, then you know that Andre Roy is getting it from Maryland, out of St. Francis Academy in Baltimore. He has used an official visit in College Park already. He has also used an official visit at Rutgers. So three consecutive weekends now, Sean, where Roy gets to a Big Ten campus. He also dropped this on us midweek on a tweet that he was at Arizona State this week for an official visit. So I don't really know. I haven't seen much reported on that trip to the Southwest, but
that's a heck of a time to pop up at Arizona State, man.
Ooh. Yeah, and I was thinking the same thing. I don't know how the staff was equipped this week to handle an official visit and make you feel welcomed and accommodated for. But getting back to the Penn State situation, Sean, a guy you saw in person this year, this spring, how does he fit? Because there's so many offensive line offers that went out in February, March, April. We've seen some things materialized. We're waiting on others. And Roy is a guy who surfaced during that time frame.
Yeah, some guys moved up the board. Some guys moved down the board. Roy's a guy that did move up the board. They saw him, they get these videos from these camps. He was really good at the Under Armour camp back in May down in Maryland. This is a guy, he's far from a finished product, but he's got tackle size. He's got really good feet for that size. And I think there's a lot to like there. And, this is one of those ones. He visited Maryland. He visited Rutgers. He took that in-week official to Arizona State. I thought Penn State was in a good spot coming into those trips. And, coming into this one, it might be a chance to blow him away. To me, that taking four trips in the matter of three and a half weeks, that tells me that he's looking to get this thing over with. I talked to him back at the Under Armour camp, kind of leaned toward making a decision in July, but at the same time, he doesn't really know what is going on with recruiting all the time. So I think that's one that you could probably watch this weekend. I would warn from people expecting more commitments this weekend? It seems like last week you didn't listen when we told you that, but you know, whatever.
Wait, Sean, you have an opportunity to extend that warning a bit later, courtesy of the mailbag. So right. Hold off.
We'll get to
Don't
that.
Go too. Yeah.
But Roy's a guy that's moved up the board. I mean, JB Nelson, who picked up his offer at camp a couple of weeks ago, the Lackawanna kid. Alessandro Lorenzetti was on campus this weekend. He's going to be back next week as well. So those guys are sort of, you know, have climbed up a little bit on the board. So we'll see what happens with Phil Troutwine, what he likes to do. I mean, you're probably thinking that you were originally thinking four, maybe five now. So a lot of that stuff is going to be very fluid with numbers because other positions will affect it. But it seems like, you know, they like to recruit the tackles, and Andre Roy fits that mold of what they're looking for.
Said going into last weekend that at the running back spot where we project two players, the dream scenario if you're Penn State is Nick Singleton joined by, you know, prospect X, another four-star prospect, another guy you're talking with. And I think you can make the case for Omarion Hampton being in that conversation as the next guy. He will be on campus this week, a North Carolina product. And talk about a guy who's doing his homework right now in June. He's been all over the place, Sean. He's going to Ohio State next. He's already worked through the SEC a little bit with Auburn and Florida official visits. Now he's got Penn State. You can't ever count out Jaywan Sider in a setting like this where he's person to person giving his spiel on what Penn State has to offer, what his room has to offer. What do you make of Omarion Hampton making his trip? He's the number 12 running back, number 142 overall in 24/7 Sports composite rankings.
Yeah, this is an incredible, he's probably the most talented kid they'll host this weekend. Hampton, I think, is an awesome running back. I mean, Hampton and Singleton, 1A, 1B, and whatever order you want to put them in would be fine with me because they're both really good backs. I think it's probably a similar situation to Singleton in that, I think Hampton's probably going to end up at North Carolina, stay home. I think Singleton's probably going to end up at Penn State and stay home. But they're both guys that are, you know, eager to check out other campuses, see what's out there. You look at what Carolina's been able to do over the last 2 years with Mack Brown. It's tough to bet against them for an in-state kid right now. So I'd be surprised if he ended up here, but if you're a Penn State fan and he ended up here, you'd be absolutely delighted. This is exactly the type of back that that traditional Penn State fans have been looking for. Big kid, explosive, runs really well. There's a lot to like with Omarion Hampton. He's one of my favorite prospects in this class. It's just going to be an uphill battle for Penn State to land him.
Hampton was number 10. There you go. We just went through all 10 guys. And before we shift gears and get to the conversation I had with Kevon Lee just a few days ago, we had a chance to speak with the Penn State running back and have a couple audio clips to share from that conversation and a little bit of insight. But a quick recruiting note, the one I did want to get to here, Sean, some crystal ball movement at Bergen Catholic in New Jersey.
Yeah, we had some guys that listened to the podcast the other day, and by the time that was out, we had a note saying, "Hey, watch Jaden Gold. He's probably going to go to USC." I think that's going to be the end one in that scenario. It's a tough loss for Penn State if that continues to go in that direction. He's set to announce on Sunday, but yeah, it seemed like one a lot of reporting to back up that we felt good about Jaden Gold and. You know, it just didn't work out in that, or hasn't worked out in that direction. So I flipped mine to USC the other night. I know Steve and Doan did. I just spoke to a lot of people and they feel confident that it's heading that way, but that's part of June recruiting, I guess.
One other thing, we got an article up on Lions 24/7 on Thursday, new in-state offer going out to tight end Marcus Dixon from Archbishop Wood. He was on campus on Thursday with a teammate, Samaj Bridgman, who does have an offer, a linebacker. So keep an eye on Marcus Dixon, a 6'4", 220-pound rising junior. Not much film out there. I know some of our readers were curious about that. By the way, important note, and not one that Penn State fans love, but same program that produced Kyle Pitts coming off of an all-time tight end run at the University of Florida. So, Sean, we are back with some conversation on Kevon Lee. We've got our five-star mailbag. Well, you'll issue a warning to our audience once again. Stay with us, folks. This is the Lions 24/7 podcast.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
We continue here on the Lions 24/7 podcast with a look back to my recent conversation with Keevon Lee, Penn State's second year running back, ended up leading the Nittany Lions in rushing yards last season. And Sean, a player that we did not have available for media sessions at any point this spring or last season. That's pretty standard for Penn State with their first year players. Now it's year number two, and Keevon shared a few things. We'll get to that in a second. But development through his first year on campus, the main thing is he just validated everything we've been saying, and he was not really that comfortable last year when it first came time to touch the ball and play in Big Ten football. He hadn't played since 2018 in live football action, no senior season at the high school level. And he explained to me it really was until after that Michigan game when he broke out, went for, 140-plus yards in that contest. It was win number one of the season. He got a major boost of confidence, and he said, okay, I've done this before. And from there, you know, he carried it down the stretch, and it was really his backfield because of injuries, because of some inefficiencies elsewhere. And he emerged as one of those guys that you just can't put aside no matter how much you want to place focus on Noah Kane or the incoming Baylor transfer, John Lovett.
Yeah. And that's one thing where you look at what he brings to the table, and nothing, I don't think anything blows you away. But he got here underdeveloped and still did that as a true freshman, which, you know, makes you pretty optimistic for what he can put together. I know he had some other comments for you about his development, but I think it's very intriguing in terms of what he can bring to the table when he actually gets into a strength program, when he actually gets into nutrition and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he had said he never really focused before he got to college on a, you know, sustained conditioning program, testing numbers, and they'll test your numbers here at Penn State. It's something they like to do. And when he got to campus last summer, Sean, he told me it was at a 4.6 plus range 40-yard dash. Took it, retested this spring, less than a full year on campus. He gave me the number of 4.49 40-yard dash. I quickly gave that number to our message board. I know there are going to be some skeptics out there on if that number matches up with how fast Keevon Lee truly is right now. That's what I got to go off of as a reporter. And I can tell you this, if at 6 foot and listing himself 228 pounds, he's doing that, he's not going to be sidelined by many running backs in the country, much less running backs here in Happy Valley.
So as one of those skeptics, I took that information. I said, are you serious? To some of my people in the program, they're like, yeah, we were surprised too. And, you know, they had him about a 4.5 or so. You said 4.49. 4.49 sounds better.
It sure does.
What he said, it didn't even look like a 4.6 kid last year. I mean, he looked like a kid running high 4.7s, 4.8. Not going to run away from anybody, but if he's able to develop that lower body strength and turn it into speed, that's notable. That's certainly notable. So yeah, I had to play skeptic on that one, but I reached out to some people and they were also surprised, but pleased at his offseason development.
This is the comments from Kevon when he looked back at how it went last year and really what it was like to be thrust into that situation with Journey Brown being sidelined, Noah King getting hurt right off the bat, Devin Ford missing a bunch of time, and it being his show pretty quickly.
Well, like, I wasn't used to playing in pads because I've been out like a whole year. My whole season yard didn't play, so I wasn't used to it. So it's like I just had to get my feet back under me, like, okay, this football, like, okay, I've been here before. After the Michigan game, like, I don't know, I didn't think I was going to go out there and perform the way I did. So, like, going into, like, the next week, Rutgers, I was like, okay, I'm comfortable now. I know what I'm doing. I've been here before, so, yeah. I mean, to me, it felt like normal to me because, like, that's what I've always been doing. Like, it's never been like, oh, I just did great. So, it's like, I hold myself to a higher standard. Like, I feel like I left more yards out there. Like I was looking at it, like, what could I have done better? How many, like, more times I could have got in the end zone? But at the same time, it was like, amazing because it's like, okay, my first actually college game I started, and I actually did good. And it was our first win, so that, like, helped a lot because it seems like I, like, carried us to the win. So it was good. I loved it.
And additionally, we just said it, that 449 number, if that stands up and he's got a couple more years to develop on that, it's going to be really fun to watch Kevon Lee play football, and he's going to have a future in this sport long-term beyond Happy Valley. But here's what he did say about where he feels different going into this year and why he thinks it's going to be a big second season.
I always had the speed. It's just like back to we was talking about the year I took off, 2019. It's like I had to get my feet back under me. So I always had the speed. It's just like I kind of forgot about it. Like, I was not sure about it at one point in time, like last year. So I always had it. I just, like, now I'm comfortable. I just, like, know my speed. So it's like, okay, I'm moving faster. I'm getting faster times because I know my speed now. But coming in first, it was just like, okay, I didn't play football in a year. Like, what do I still have? Because I've been working out, but I never, like, really had to test my speed or test my moves, none of that. Like, my body just feels different now. I'm ready for this year because I'm showing it all. Like, I'm going to be lining up rods. See, I'm used to showing all. Y'all going to see. I'm versatile now. I'm the whole package this year.
Sean, we won't spend too much time on Kevon Lee because we have an entire summer to do that. He's going to be a big topic of conversation for us leading into September. But where we are right now, when you think about his role in this backfield, the way he's feeling about himself and the way we've heard it from Franklin, we've heard it from Sider, this staff feels about him, what are the realistic expectations in a pretty darn crowded backfield?
Well, I look at what Noah Cain did back when he was kind of the second fiddle to Journey Brown there at the end of that 2019 season. And you said the same things about him. You weren't sure if he would be able to break the big plays, the big runs, be more of a complement to the other speed guys. I'm not sure when you look at this room who the big speed guy is, but it can kind of provide you something a little bit different. So if, you know, those numbers check out and he adds some lower body power to his repertoire, I mean, this guy's going to get carries, and it seems pretty obvious that he can fit into what you're trying to do, whether that be, you know, traditional Big Ten ball, whether you're trying to spread it around a little bit. I mean, there's always space for a back like Lee. So I think he'll be a guy that maybe gets a little bit more. I think we kind of, I don't want to say took him for granted last year, but I think we kind of forgot about what he can bring to the table going into this year based on that lack of speed, that lack of big play ability. So be curious to see where he fits in. Be curious to see really how they spread that ball around with Kane, with John Lovett, Devin Ford's back. You know, there's a lot of backs out there. So I don't think there's a right formula or anything like that, but I am very curious to see how they make that work.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of such a very quick transition in the way we view Kevon Lee and his importance with the roster. This time last year, Keziah Holmes got in early, you got four other guys. You're putting him fifth in that room and thinking who's really going to impact this team in 2020. He ends up leading the team in rushing. And now you say, you know, how does this offense really operate without Kevon Lee being a steady part of the process? We'll see how it goes. Again, expect more on the site about Kevon from that conversation. Thank you to him for his time, and thanks for Penn State for making him available for that conversation. Sean, five-star mailbag. We'll make this one quick, not going to lie. Going to an ultrasound to check in on the baby girl, 24 weeks. It's getting very real. She is moving in there. Let's get to football, though. June is halfway done, and Penn State hasn't picked up a single commitment yet. Is that concerning? That's not my question. That is a question from an audience member.
Well, they did pick up a commitment, Jordan Vanderberg, for the 2021 class. But no, I mean, this is kind of how we mapped it out. And I know people want to get antsy and want these commitments all to happen all at one time. But I mean, this is basically the roadmap that we laid out here. These guys want to see these schools. They want to check some things out. We all thought that Jaden Gould would be the first piece to fall on the 20th. That does not look like it's going to be the case. So, I mean, you get one guy to hop on board, you might make some other guys feel a little bit more comfortable. But no, I mean, it's basically exactly how we said things would play out. And I don't know how to say that without trying to sound like an egotistical jerk, but I think this is the expectation and it's playing out. And I know we want the gratification, but yeah, I think you gotta wait a little bit here.
What Sean said, and we also want to say this, congratulations to our loyal listener, Dan, and his fiance, Alyssa, for their upcoming wedding. Dan's friend, Nick, reached out to us to let them know that he loves them and he's thinking about them. And this sounds like a cameo because he ended up with a cameo. Nick got a cameo from his friend, Dan, with Trace McSorley. Dan, you got to get stuck with Sean and I, but we appreciate you listening. We wish you a great celebration and many years ahead. Anything to add to the newlyweds?
Nope. Just congratulations to you guys. Thanks for listening. And thanks for, you know, getting married. I guess this is the way to go. That's really awesome news. You sent me that note the other day. I guess this is our cameo. Is that what we're doing now? So congratulations to you guys. It's awesome news. I hope you enjoy your special day.
And we hope you all enjoy your weekend. We'll be back next week with the latest from another busy few days on campus for Penn State recruiting. On behalf of Sean, I'm Tyler Donahue. This is the Lines 24/7 podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.